The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
Hey, welcome back to the Brightside and issue number 133. Time before time, right? Not time after time.
Before.
Yes. Time before time. Great book that we talk about later. But I have something special lined up here in the open for John. Hey, our buddy Dr. Joe does God's work for us, all right? He was over there on TLDR, on their podcast that he does with Nick. He was promoting us. He was talking about the great things we give, John. And check this out.
Book that you picked up from Marvel that I was stunned by for two reasons. One, because you picked it up, and then two, what the hell's going on in that book?
Yeah, Brightside Chat started dropping their podcast early now. You know, they do a Speculator's Corner section of their podcast, so I was listening to that on the way to the store, and they had mentioned that Iron Fist number 5 should be one to grab because in that issue, Okoye becomes Iron Fist. So, yeah, I'm going to need to check that out. One, because maybe it'll bring in a little cake, but two, that sounds really awesome. Like, there's potential there.
I could not... If it was just an Okoye story, I probably wouldn't care. If it was just an Iron Fist story, I totally wouldn't care. But now she's becoming the Iron Fist? Okay, you got me. You have my attention. I think I might have to pick this one up, too. I have to go back.
Again, I had no intention of picking up this book, but that really piqued my interest. I'm looking forward to reading it, so I don't know...
See that?
We're doing the Lord's work, man.
Yep. Hey, thanks, Dr. Joe. Appreciate that little shout out during your show. We do the same thing. We're more of it tonight, today, as you read this. Bunch of books this week. We had a ton of books this week, but we have ton of news this week, too. Lots to get to. And by the way, when we get to Real World, John's had 2 weeks to watch TV shows.
Yeah.
Lots going on there. Big announcement. Well, you'll get the big, huge, huge announcement coming as soon as we get into the store. And plenty of Star Wars talk this week, John.
I know.
What a show. No Kryptonite, but it's still over 2 hours long. Quite the show. Had a blast. Let's get into the store, John.
All right.
Hey, John, how are we doing?
I'm doing great, man. How are you?
I got that part right.
Yeah, I was going to say.
It's been a rough start. Yeah. Oh, we had a week off, or you had a week off. This is literally your first vacation week off from Brightside Chat, because all the other times we were off, you were doing something or going somewhere. Right. And I hit you with this one, and you were like, yay, vacation.
Yeah, vacation.
So, before we get to the big news, how did you enjoy your vacation?
Oh, man, it was great. Put my feet up, got a tan.
Yeah, you had Tuesday all to yourself.
I had Tuesday evening all to myself.
No prep, no show prep, which is, I know. Hours for you.
It is. All day Monday, all day Tuesday. So.
Oh, all right. Are you ready to get... I don't even want to say get to the big news. I thought we had some big news or some celebration, but then you hit me up with this.
Yeah?
What's up? What's up, Papa? What's up, Grandpa John?
Grandpa John. Grandbaby. Number 8, yes.
Do we have a name?
Yes, Elena Juliet. Was born actually yesterday at about 10:30 in the morning.
So, oh, wow. Did you just get the picture right before we started? Is that why?
No, it just occurred to me that I would talk about it on the show, so I should send the picture along. So
yeah, okay.
You could put it up if you wanted to.
Well, I felt like...
I was going to mention it.
Yeah.
Either way, but I thought at the last minute to send the picture. So
because it's funny because you texted me and I'm sitting here. I got home late. I'm trying to put this show together to get our pictures together and everything, right? And you send me this picture, and you're like, and you said number 8, and I was like, here's my text. Wow, can I use the pic in a show? And I'm sitting there waiting for the response. I was like, oh, wait a minute. Congratulations?
Yeah.
I was like, what a jackass. Because my first instinct, and then you were like, yeah, that's why I sent it.
That's why I sent it.
Okay, yeah, you know? But I'm like, you know.
Because it's not my permission to give, but I'm doing it anyways.
Yeah.
So.
Well, let's not give out addresses.
I'm stealing consent from the mom and dad, yeah. But.
Cute baby.
But yeah, she is.
Do you have a size?
7 pounds something.
Oh, okay.
Like, I don't know exactly, but I know she was a little over 7 pounds. She was actually 3 weeks early.
Oh, wow. Yep.
They induced labor yesterday because, you know, she was getting big. And there was a couple, not to get too into it, but there was a few things that could have been complications. So they wanted to just go ahead and get her now. So, so we knew, like, it was kind of planned. We knew all weekend that she was going in Monday morning to be induced. So,
oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Of course, we couldn't be there. Nobody was allowed to be at the hospital still, even though
COVID
restrictions are loosening up.
Yeah, but they're still pretty tight there.
Yeah, the only one that was allowed to be in the room was Dad.
That's good.
Yeah, Lydia had inventory at work yesterday anyway, so... So, yeah, we haven't seen her yet, but, hopefully this week we'll be able to get over there.
Number 8. Wow, you're going to have to expand the walls on that Saucony compound you got going.
I mean, number 9's coming in about 3 weeks, so.
Oh, God.
I mean, I have grandbabies quicker than I change my socks, so.
But that's not saying much.
We'll have number, well, I don't
so
wear
do
socks.
So do I, and I don't have any.
Yeah, I Yeah, number 9's coming in a few weeks.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Jeez. So,
hopefully that's it for a while. I don't know.
What are you guys, rabbits?
Yeah.
What the hell's going on down there?
Well, I mean, there's 7
kids. Oh, it's hot in Texas.
So, yeah. I mean, we had a freeze earlier in the year.
Yeah,
in February,
that's true.
I don't think the math checks out.
No, but I think these do go down as COVID babies for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, it's. Yeah, you're all locked up, hey?
Yeah. So, yeah, I think this is it for a little while, but.
Well, for 3 weeks, then that'll be it for a
while.
Well,
for 3 weeks, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to take a month, a 2 weeks, 2 months off?
Yeah, a couple months
Something
off.
Like that. 9. You're going to have 9.
There's no more in the oven right now, so at least 9 months.
gotta let that oven rest.
Yeah, but both the girls were actually due at the same time because, like I said,
right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's right.
Elena here was about 3 weeks early. So they were really due almost the same time. I don't know what was going on. Like, I don't even want to get into what the social situation was. But
interesting.
But yeah, they're both due at the same time. So.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's great. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
Congratulations. Thank you. Yeah. I mean, Christmas just got more expensive, but hey, congratulations.
Well, not really, because we just take it away from the adults.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
Like, my budget pretty – and I've been telling them that for years. It's like, you know, my budget's not increasing. So
right. Yeah.
It's just the share – your share gets smaller
exactly.
as it goes to your kids.
Right.
So,
and then as the grandchildren get older, it gets lesser for the older. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, wow. So, all right. That's awesome. That's awesome news. That was funny. Right before the show, I'm like, "Whoa, hey, this is quick." Okay. And I'm
Well, you guys didn't announce it.
Yeah, I know. It's you guys didn't announce it anywhere else, did you?
No. Well, that's
not
what I thought was weird
because Jen usually sees it before. And,
I know. I thought that was odd that nobody posted it yesterday.
This is breaking news.
It wasn't written again. It wasn't for me to post. So I didn't even post anything, you know, when I got the pictures and stuff, but yeah, I kept looking all day cause Lydia didn't get home till pretty late. The baby was born around 10:30 in the morning. It's like, I don't know how big she was. I don't even know her name officially. You know what I mean? It's like, what's the details? And I keep going to Facebook and stuff looking for the announcement.
You're in your own family and you're trying.
Yeah. So I'm like, okay, well, And when then when Lydia got home, I was like, okay, well, like, what are the details here? Like, how big was she? What time was she born? What's her name?
That's funny.
So, yeah. Oh. I mean, I didn't want to text the hospital. You know, I didn't want to text my daughter because, you know, who knows what's going on there.
Right.
We weren't there. So I just waited till Lydia got home. But I was like, man, these details are not coming very quickly to me. Right. So
that's funny.
Yeah.
Hey, well, congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
And let's move on to the original big news that I had. It's a kind of another birthday. Elena shares the same birthday.
I'm wishing she would have held out one more day, really.
Why?
Because then she could have shared a birthday with Star Wars. Because
oh, I thought that was today. No,
she was born yesterday.
Oh, she was born yesterday. That's right.
She was born yesterday at 10:30. Yeah,
I was saying I got the news today.
So as we're recording, Tuesday,
May 25th.
May 25th is Star Wars' 44th birthday. This is a day that is way more important in my life than it should be, but this is a pretty big celebration for me
now,
as well. So.
Do you even have a clue if you saw it on opening day?
Oh, I know for sure that I did not.
Right. Oh, you know for sure? Yeah.
I know for a fact I didn't see it on opening day, no. Because for one thing, opening day was select theaters on a Wednesday, which I definitely didn't do. I saw it on a weekend with my dad, and
I don't even know what day I saw it with my dad.
Yeah, I honestly have no idea. Like, I know it was on a Sunday, but it could have been in July. I don't know, because as we've discussed, this wasn't something it wasn't on my radar, and I wasn't looking for it back when I was seven. So I saw it whenever we saw it, so I couldn't tell you. I know even like going into Empire, I didn't see that for months because once again, you know, it probably came out in May also. And I didn't see it till summer vacation when I went to visit my dad in Florida. So, you know, I wasn't seeing these things.
Yeah.
You know, opening day back then. So
it was also back then. You weren't sure when your town was getting it.
Yeah,
if you remember
I know I saw it in Franklin uptown, you know.
It's not like today where
one screen.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly. So there might have been something else playing, like just because it came out on that. I mean, now we're getting day and date with streaming.
Right.
But back then there was a very good likelihood, I don't know how to put it, that it didn't open. Especially in our small town, like we might not have it right away.
Right,
so
we had one screen at that when we were kids, right?
Right,
and then I think they went to two screens eventually.
They went to three eventually,
or three,
but the middle was the big one.
So yeah, like you said, if something else was playing in May that was doing well for the theater, Star Wars might not have hit. They might not have got it till June or July, you know?
Right?
So,
but. What's funny is, now, to put that in perspective for people that are not familiar with this at all, we weren't upset about it because there was no internet.
We didn't know about it.
We didn't even know it was out yet. We knew it was coming, like, say when we were in our teens in the 80s,
right.
And we were conscious of movies coming out, of Star Wars coming out. And like you said, I don't even think I was conscious of Empire, like the date. I know Jedi,
no, but I knew
I was.
But I knew at that point I was waiting for it.
Right.
You know.
But we didn't know what the date was that it dropped. We just knew when our town got it. And do you remember driving through town and reading the board and being like, it's not there yet. Yeah, it's not playing yet.
Because I think, if I'm not mistaken, they would have multiple movies, but Star Wars might play at 7 and then King Kong played at 9 or something like that. So it wasn't like today where it plays all day long on one screen, back to back to back, you know.
Right.
Back in our day, kids, you know.
Yeah, they would mix it up. It would be like every other, and then.
Yeah, so there was probably like a matinee at like 1 o'clock, and then, you know, it came again at 7, and then something else played at 3 and 9, and that's how they managed multiple movies.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But I feel like there weren't as many movies back then.
Well, there weren't.
Wasn't even close.
Yeah,
but then we did get the three three theaters, and then you could, and it was funny. So imagine like one big screen, and that was what was nice. Now they took that same room and turned it into three.
All right, so it was basically like screens smaller than my TV now, because they probably weren't even 77-inch screens at that point.
No, they had a decent. I mean, the middle room was the bigger room with the bigger screen. That was the prime room, but yeah, and that was our multiplex. But yeah, it's I don't remember the day. I don't remember the date or anything. I my dad doesn't even remember. I tell him him that he took us to Needham to see it, and he's like, okay. And I go, and we went out for ice cream afterwards. I remember that. But I remember seeing the movie. I just remember being in awe at the time. Yeah. And it's just wow. But yeah.
Well, 77. Again, you know, changed my life at 7 years old.
So. Yeah, exactly. I don't know if at that point if it changed it or it just defined it.
Well, yeah, I guess there wasn't much to change. But, I mean, it was an instant obsession. Like, you know, it was like constantly in my mouth and in my mind. Like, I was always talking about it, always playing it, looking, you know, the toys finally came around Christmas. Yep. And it was like, I got my Stormtrooper, and I was super excited, and, you know.
So here's a question. Yeah. Does the whole Star Wars hype happen and stay as what it is today? Is Star Wars what it is today if we had internet back then?
I think so.
Do you?
Yeah, I think so. You know, because what would the internet have changed?
People that didn't like it
could have definitely been more vocal. But I don't know if that would have deterred all the people from going to see it that went to see it.
No, but what I mean is like you said, it's like this was on your mind all the time. You wanted books, you wanted this. Whereas with internet nowadays, everything is so immediate gratification.
Yeah, because I remember, you know, getting the picture storybook.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, like just reading it from cover to cover every day. And
yeah.
Yes, maybe you're right. Maybe it doesn't stay as top of mind if we could get it anytime we wanted. You know what I mean?
Right.
I even remember that little stupid movie projector.
Yes.
You know, where you just got like 3 minutes of the movie or Viewmasters.
Viewmasters.
So like, that's all we had. You know? Right. Nowadays, because honestly, like, you know, when we saw Star Wars at 7, right? Probably didn't see it again till we were 8 or 9 when it came back around again. And then it hit TV when we were like 12. You know, it wasn't
or
like
whenever
nowadays,
you got cable. Like I probably got cable. Yeah, around 13
but
or something.
Nowadays,
like that.
Yeah, like 6 months after the movie comes out, it would have been available on the internet or somewhere. And
right.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
what
that
I
was
mean
definitely
by,
some.
I think what a lot of it was born from our imaginations and what we thought of. For 3 years, going from Star Wars to Empire, then 3 years from Empire to Jedi, and it was just in our minds. But we spent 3 years on the playgrounds. Any chance you had to talk about this, you talked about it, and you imagined, like, okay, what's going on? Scared out of your mind of Vader. He was the scary. Is he alive? Is he not alive? Then we get hit with Empire. And it's like, wait a minute, he's his father?
Right.
And now we have 3 years
and
of
like,
is that
no,
true?
No, he's not.
He can't be
his father.
And if we had answers to all
Obi-Wan
of that.
Obi-Wan said he killed his father was dead. And Obi-Wan doesn't lie. He's a Jedi. So.
And I think it's that water cooler talk for 3 years of everybody using their imagination on what could be possible. Because Lucas wasn't letting it. There were no leaks. There was no place to leak it. It was like, what do you got? Put it in a headline in a newspaper? So I think a lot of that is what makes us love it this much. Whereas I think it would have been just another also-ran, another movie that you were like, oh, that was great. Now it's gone. And we'd be like, oh, here's the story.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, maybe. I mean, it definitely would have been the development of toxic fandom, right? Because, Again, there would have been rampant fan theories between movies that wouldn't have panned out the way people wanted them to, and we would have like we have now. So, because, you know, people are the same. So, like, whatever exists now would have existed 44 years ago if we had the internet. So, so yeah, maybe so. I don't know. But, I mean, it was a product of its time because I think the generation that grew up with it, who are now adults and still support it, you know, it hit at a certain time in history where, you know, things, you know what I mean? Like things were starting to be accepted and like these kids, you know, that fell in love with it are now growing up to make this stuff. And like, maybe that wouldn't have happened in the '30s or forties or, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or even if it came out in the '90s or 2000s, it might not have happened again because kids' attention spans don't, we didn't have anything else. You know what I mean?
Like, oh yeah.
We only had Star Wars to think and play. Like, hell, I didn't even get like an Atari until I was 11 or 12 or whatever, right?
And oh, yeah.
Then we had like Pac-Man, you know what I mean? So it wasn't you know, we had Coleco football and it was just like dots and dashes that were, you know.
But this so was like the full court press, though. We got the movie, we got the comics, we got the action figures, we've got all the toys, all the ships. So it's like there was plenty there to fuel us.
I would say that we don't get the Star Wars we have today if it wasn't for Kenner and the toys.
True.
Because if there wasn't anything to keep us engaged for 3 years between movies, because again, at seven, you know, I mean, you're fickle, right? Like, if it just disappeared for 3 years and there wasn't another mention of it, maybe it doesn't stay as like it did. But the fact that we had the toys and we could, you know, have our own adventures and do all these things. And I think Kenner absolutely.
Also, the delay helped, too, because the toys that made us like, you know, like Lucas worked so hard to keep it a secret that the toys weren't out when the movie came out. And they worked hard to just come up with something for that Christmas.
Yeah, right.
Because you only had like a 6 month lead time before everything was revealed.
Yeah, you got the early bird kit for Christmas, which is basically just an envelope. So if you're a kid and you under your Christmas tree, you open up an envelope that says, "Hey, in 6 to 12 months, you're going to get four figures."
Right.
Like, but that, you know, I don't know, but
even just that, the delay,
but waiting for those, just knowing you were waiting for those toys.
Oh yeah,
kept
the fuel going. You're like, oh, and then when the toys came out, it was like, oh, here we go, and now we can play. Look, oh, did you get this yet? Did you get? And I mean, literally, we saw it once in the theater in 77. It's not like you had multiple viewers. You had anything else, and then your toys came like a year and a half later, and it was. I know I got an X-Wing, so that had to be like a year and a half later. I got an X-Wing for Christmas.
Well, it had to be the following Christmas, really.
Right. Most of that a year and a half later.
Yeah.
That didn't work right, so I had to return it. They didn't have an X-Wing in stock, so I had to exchange it for a TIE fighter because I didn't want to wait for my X-Wing.
Right. I had something. Right.
I had to go home with something.
Right.
So I had that TIE fighter, and you hit the little button, and the wings pop off.
Yeah, I remember my first figure was a Stormtrooper. I don't remember after that how they came. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I'm sure they came pouring in after
Vader,
that.
I had Luke.
But I remember finding it at with my grandfather, and at the time it was either Ames or Mammoth Mart or whatever it was.
Yeah, in Franklin.
I don't in 77. I don't remember, or 78. It was probably Mammoth Mart. And I remember walking around the corner and seeing an end cap of Star Wars toys. And I was like, you know, I lost my freaking mind as an 8 year old. And I'm sure they had all 12 figures. And I don't know why I picked the Stormtrooper first, because it definitely wasn't my favorite character. But I guess it looked the coolest to me. And I remember that's what I got. And yeah, I don't remember how they came after that, what my next one was. But I'll always remember getting that Stormtrooper first. So
yeah, awesome.
Yeah.
So do you want to keep talking about this?
We talked a lot about Star Wars.
It doesn't birthday. Take much.
In the breaking news.
In the breaking news. It's like,
no, we're like 30 minutes into the show.
I never asked you, did you reorder these breaking newses from yesterday?
No.
Okay, you just added Star Wars. To the top. Okay, yeah. Good. Because I didn't check. I didn't
change anything. No, okay, everything else is the same.
All right, cool.
Yeah, so we start going down the list.
You ready to get to the next thing? Here we go.
Yeah, so... I mean, keeping with like childhood properties reimagined,
yes.
Masters of the Universe Revelations, which is coming to Netflix, being worked on by Kevin Smith. We got some teaser images last week, finally, on this, and it looks like we have a premiere date. So this is coming, I guess, in two parts, and part one of season one premieres on July 23rd. So... Oh. Just a few months out from
kind
that.
Lucifer, and we're still waiting for part two?
Yeah, which comes like in a day or two. I think Thursday. Yeah, I think it comes Thursday.
How did we miss that? We haven't talked about that.
I don't know, but I know it's coming.
Awesome.
Really, really quickly.
Oh, Jen will be psyched.
Yeah. Which is part two of season five, I guess.
Season
right?
five, then we get a yeah, season six.
And then
six.
Season six comes.
And that's probably
going to
come
year.
In six parts. Spread out over 5 years.
One episode apiece so they can stretch it out. But
it's 12 episodes, six parts.
Yeah. You get
first
two,
episode,
you
you're getting
wait.
Four. What? Yeah. First part, you're getting four. Huh? We're out of parts.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right, because the other parts are like half. You get half an episode. That's the only way the math works out there. But,
don't do math. My head hurts.
I think this looks great. I think
it looks fantastic. I was looking at some of the images.
Look good. Now,
great
this
artwork.
Is supposed to kind of pick up and resolve storylines from the original series. Now, it's been a long time since I've seen Masters of the Universe, but I don't really recall it having overarching themes and like unresolved storylines. So I'm not quite sure what we're getting here, but. It's supposed to pick up right where the other one left off. And I think it looks great, so I can't wait for it.
Yeah.
I think it looks good.
That looks awesome. Yeah, I love the images. I love the art. It looks very modern. But,
yeah. Yes, but still has the feel.
Still has the same feel, exactly.
Yeah, so it looks like it's definitely been updated for 2021, but it feels like Masters of the Universe. So I think it's going to be really good.
If you draw them right, it's hard not to.
Yeah. Well, and like, you know, Kevin, I listen to Kevin a lot in different podcasts. And, you know, he's very excited about, you know, obviously can't stop talking about it.
And, you know, he wants to stay close to the source. He's not going to go off on some tangent.
Right.
He wants it to be his, you know, whatever he has in his head from when he was a kid.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
So that's coming in July. Should be good.
Yeah. Looking forward to that.
All right. Yeah. Next, also Netflix news. We had rumors of this already, but it looks like it's been confirmed. Millie Bobby Brown and Henry Cavill are both returning for Enola Holmes 2. So I know that we were hopeful that that would happen. There's multiple books in this franchise. So I would like to see this go on for a bit because I thought Enola Holmes was great. I thought it was a lot of fun.
Yeah,
I
she's
really
great.
Enjoyed it.
He's great.
Yeah, she's
it was
great.
A great story.
Yeah, it was
very
really
well done.
A lot of fun. You know, a lot of fun.
This
should be great. Can't wait for that.
Stay tuned for more Henry Cavill news.
Yes, coming up. all right, this is a big one that kind of came out of nowhere. But last week, AT&T basically sold off Warner Media and it merged with Discovery. They have now become like the biggest media conglomerate.
Yeah.
Out there. What that means for us, though, is AT&T no longer having control over DC Comics. And so that is exciting for me because I have not been super thrilled with what's happened with DC Comics.
So how did
AT&T's
that do that?
Stewardship.
I'm not familiar with that. How did change
basically
what AT&T is doing?
Well, because AT&T is no longer...
Oh, they bought it off of them?
Yeah, they don't have... Right, they're no longer the owners of Warner Media. Warner Media was sold off and you know, basically to Discovery, I guess, and they are merging to form a new company. So what that means for like HBO Max / Discovery Plus, because they both have their own streaming things, I'm not sure what that means ultimately, whether they will also merge and become one thing or not. I don't know, but I know that the CEO of Discovery is taking over the new company. So
okay.
So yeah, I don't know. There's been no announcements on anything DC Comics related. You know, this isn't even, you know, like this has to go through the approval process with the government. You know, it's not like a done deal yet, but it looks like all, you know, all systems are go for this. And I just hope it means better things for DC. I hope they have better ideas for how to handle this company and take it in a better direction than what AT&T did. Because I feel like AT&T, I think DC Comics was just a pain, an afterthought for them. Like they didn't want it. They didn't want to have to deal with it. You know,
right.
They, you know, are at the end of the day, a cell phone company, and just didn't want to have anything to do with this.
Yeah, so, that's the. I didn't understand. I had no idea that that was one of the ramifications of it, because I was like, okay, so I thought it was like AT&T is like, all right, and they just bought Discovery. So I thought it was just they were adding Discovery in, and I didn't pay much like attention to it, but that's fantastic news.
Yeah, it looks like they're unloading Warner Media. And like I said, you know, really what I'm looking forward to is like House Hunters, Gotham, and you know all the new unscripted shows we're going to get from Discovery Network.
So
you know,
I guess
the Food Channel, like I'm looking for the, you know, Barry Allen's cooking show. you know,
maybe that's where Cisco's going.
Yeah, Fixer Upper with you know, Batman. Yeah, so but yeah, I don't know. Like I said, hopefully.
So I guess now you don't get your you can't get HBO Max for free anymore if you have AT&T. That that stuff's probably gone.
Oh, that's right. I didn't even think about that. That's probably.
I think I did hear that, and it's starting to make that's starting to make more sense to me now. Like,
yeah. So I guess whenever this thing does become official, I'll probably have to start paying for HBO Max again. But that's fine.
oh, I didn't realize you were still doing that.
I still get it for free. So yeah. I don't have AT&T as a cell phone company, but I have my internet through them. So
you get it for free. Yeah.
But
cool.
But yeah, anyway, that should be cool. Yep. All right. This next one is actually, I have conflicting reports on this, so I'm not sure what's going on here, but I read earlier in the week that HBO Max was considering not having Dune appear day and date on HBO Max, and then go strictly to theaters first, and be kind of like the first one to go back to traditional theatrical release. But then I was listening to another podcast today that contradicted that and said that it was still going to do both. So I'm not sure actually exactly what's going on with this, but you know, Dune is due out, I believe, in November, and I know HBO. Although, again, now this could all change based on whatever Discovery, you know, whatever happens with this new company. But the reports were that in 2022, like, this was not going to be the model. And
right.
Things would not do day and date releases. So November being pretty close to 2022, it feels like Dune could be the first movie to break the model. But we'll have to wait and see for official announcements, but yeah, there's kind of rumors all over the place around this movie. So
yeah, I've same thing over on my home theater Twitter feed. There was a lot of talk of it. There were actually people like not yelling, but you know how Twitter gets, like, that's not true, or that's true, or this, and then everybody's citing different sources, and it's like I don't know. It's
So this is kind of like I considered just taking it out of the news, since we didn't really have a definitive
discussion.
Way or the other. But
we got a lot of news.
I was like, we can talk about it. Well, it's 2 weeks worth of news, so
yeah, true.
True. So yeah, it'd be interesting to see where they go with that. But I don't think it's been super successful for them ultimately, the day and date. releases.
And it'll become less and less successful because people are going to start going back to the theaters, and they're going to be literally be losing people because they won't go. So
right, and it hasn't brought the number of subscribers that they were hoping it would. So which I think also plays into the AT&T decision, because the reports are that they have been unhappy with the way this whole thing shook out. So
I don't know what they expected.
I don't either.
But, to be honest, do you see anything out of the ordinary? I think they're growing faster than
most.
Well,
honestly, I think they did it better than Disney, to be honest with you, because maybe not from a financial perspective, but for the companies, but for the people, it was better because, Disney wants you to pay $30 to watch their movies day and date.
Day and date.
Whereas Warner Brothers was giving it to you for free. So I think for the consumers, it was fantastic. But I don't know for AT&T's bottom line if it worked the way they were hoping it would. I don't know. I also don't know how successful it's been for Disney either. But everybody was in uncharted waters, and everybody took a different route to trying to survive. And but I think where Disney had the subscribers, they were chasing the dollars. Warner Brothers was chasing the subscribers, and I think that was more important to them than the ultimate box office, because subscribers are repeat income month after month.
Right, you'd hope.
Yeah. And I think that's
you can always subscribe and cancel. So
you can, but again, they continue to put enough stuff on these. Like HBO Max has had consistently good stuff to keep us there. Between the movies and some of the series they've had, and I haven't found a lack of things to keep me subscribed to it.
Right. So I had HDR report put out, this is over on my home theater, HD report, I call them HDR, but HD report put out a poll like a week or so ago, and it was really, I think I replied which one's playing Sophie's Choice? Because if you could only have one, which do you pick? And he had four of them up there, and it was obviously Disney Plus, Netflix, HBO Max, and Paramount Plus, right?
Right.
And I'm like, well, I knew right away, all right, Paramount's out. I can cross them off pretty quickly because nothing jumps to your mind. But they do have – that's all CBS and everything, and they have the Star Trek.
I watch a lot of Paramount, but
– But a lot – I mean – but then out of those other three, if you could never watch the other two again, which do you
pick? It's a hard choice. Yeah, it's a hard choice.
And I almost was like, well, Disney Plus I could probably get away with getting rid of. This is my initial thinking because I'm like, I own most of the stuff that I want to see there, right? Except for the shows.
True. I was for
Bad
me,
Batch
at the end of the
and
day,
Mandalorian.
At the end of the day, it comes down to Star Wars. And where am I going to get Star Wars? Because if I have to pick one property for the rest of my life, it's always going to be Star Wars. So I think that is the decider for me. But it would be tough because there's great stuff on Netflix that I would miss. And great stuff on HBO Max that I would miss. So, but at the end of the day, I'm always going to pick Star Wars. And then, the benefits that come, the benefit is that I get Marvel too. So.
Right. But most of the stuff there, I own outside of that. I own the physical media of all of those things.
I do as well, you said, except for The Bad Batch, except for Clone Wars and all of that stuff. At the end of the day, you can own all that stuff too. You just have to wait for it.
So, well, I don't think Mandalorian actually I saw is out on DVD. It's not out on Blu-ray.
Right.
So, and that's the other thing. A lot of this stuff you're not able to get it anywhere else.
Right. It may not come out.
It was an interesting question that spawned a lot of conversation, but I was like, and I like you was probably leaning towards Disney Plus. But when you break it down, what you're actually getting out of it is probably the least amount of content, but it's just the most important to us.
Right.
You know, because, I mean, Netflix has probably got the most content because they have so much original programming now.
Probably so,
that
yes.
You're like, these movies
probably,
that are coming
I'm sure
out.
I watch more Netflix than any of them.
Right.
You know, pound for pound, you know, I watch more Netflix right. than anything. But it also was the one I could probably do without the most, because all of those shows are great, but none of them are like Marvel or Star Wars. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like none of them.
Right.
I wouldn't die if I couldn't see any of them.
Yeah.
You know? So it's just yeah. Netflix is where you go. You just find something. You just always find something
oh, yeah.
to watch.
Well, you go there always... and yeah, you go there and just say, "What's new? Oh wow,
right.
I didn't know that dropped." Like, and you
yeah.
just said like
it's not
you know,
always
Lucifer's
where you
dropping
go.
On Friday maybe, and it's like, oh my
yeah.
god.
For stuff that you're actually anticipating.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And that all started because, you know, they'll mail you a Blu-ray or a DVD.
Yeah, right, a DVD.
It's crazy. yeah. Crazy. All right, is that enough on Dune?
I think so, yeah.
all right. All right, next one.
Okay, so it looks like the Batgirl movie has its directors. Now, given the question... I would have bet my house on the fact that we would have had a female director for this movie, but that is not the case.
Yeah, I'm not even 100% sure what we got out of these names. You know, like you thought we were getting a female, and I don't know. Look at the names of these directors.
Oh, they're not. They're two male. Two male.
Are they?
Yeah, I don't know. I know for sure.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. I know you know because of the story, but. Adil
El Arbi and Bilal Fallah. Again, I've heard these names pronounced before because on my at the store I run a preview for Miss Marvel
and
they talk about both of these directors, so I've heard the names. So I think that's how you say them.
Yeah.
But yeah, they are two male directors, so. I know we had a technical glitch, so I'm not sure if I'm repeating any of this again. But yeah, I would have bet the farm on a female director directing this Batgirl movie. But that being said, obviously we haven't seen Ms. Marvel yet, but I liked Bad Boys for Life. I think they'll do a good job on the movie. And, you know, again, they're tackling Ms. Marvel, which is obviously another female character. So,
interesting.
Yeah,
huh?
It's interesting that they're jumping
in this day and age.
They're crossing the street too, because Miss Marvel obviously is a Marvel property. Batgirl is a DC property. Yeah, so
you learn something every day, John.
Yeah, so it's interesting that they're working both sides of the street here. But I don't know. Should be good. I'm just happy they're making a Batgirl movie. I think it's going to be really. I think it'll be great if it's, you know, again in the right hands with the right cast. It should be great. So hopefully this is the right hands. We just need to get a good Batgirl, and we'll see.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Nope. I'm looking forward to. I always look forward to any comic book movie.
Well, me too.
So,
me too.
You know, so. All right. Next up. Oh, and all we right. didn't even mention Amazon when we were talking about they somehow.
Oh,
they didn't
I know
make
that's another streamer
poll.
Too.
Yeah.
Yeah, another streamer that has again has some pretty good stuff on it. So.
Yeah, it does. Yeah,
and it's got stuff coming up that I'm looking forward to.
Yeah,
case in point, this series here. But it looks like they have renewed the Wheel of Time series for season 2 ahead of the season 1 release. Mm-hmm. So. I know we talked about them doing the same thing with Lord of the Rings a few weeks ago. So
yeah.
Amazon is all in on these properties. You know, Wheel of Time is a massive story. It's, I think, 12 or 13 novels of 1,000-plus pages each. So, like, the story is so deep. And, you know, Lord of the Rings, again, very rich mythology. So they're all in on these fantasy series. And I can't wait for both of them. I read the Wheel of Time series. I loved it. I hope they can do it justice. But like I said, you're talking about 15,000 pages of story. It's going to be hard to fit all that in to any kind of seasons of shows. But yeah, it should be really good. So.
Yeah, I just I, I don't know much about the stories other than what you've told me, and I just know I like Rosamund Pike, and that's the image.
I like Rosamund Pike too. Yeah,
the image I have up is her reading one of the books.
Yeah, well, she's playing Moraine, who's one of the central characters.
Yeah.
So yeah, should be. Like I said, I really can't wait for it. I think it's going to be great. So.
When's season one coming out?
Don't even. I don't.
You don't
even
know that. We just know we're getting a season two.
I just know we're getting season two.
Sweet.
At some point, yes. So.
Oh man.
But I just like again. I just like going into this knowing that
right.
They're all in on it.
Yeah, you know, that like, that's.
I
fun.
Hate start. Especially
like
something,
Warrior, like you were like so mad exactly. that you, there's no chance, yeah. and then we
well,
got
especially
one.
Something that's as deep as the Wheel of Time. Like yeah. you're never going to get all of that story in one season. So if they're not committed to it, like I don't want to just watch one season of it. I want to be able to get, you know, I mean, this again, this could go for 13 seasons. I mean, there's yeah. that many books, you know, I don't know how committed they are to it. But, you know, and again, 1,000 pages a book doesn't take as many hours to put on screen because, you know, you can see things as opposed to describing things in great detail. But, you know, there's still a lot of story here. But at least we know we're getting two seasons of it before right. I waste my time watching season one and then it gets canceled and then I'm bummed out, you know. So, yeah. So,
all right.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. Looking forward to that. Next
yeah,
up.
Moving on. More yeah. Looks DC. Like we are getting now. We've already kind of talked about this, but announcements this week of new Batman and Superman animated series coming. The Batman series, it looks like it's going to HBO Max and Cartoon Network. The Batman series has Bruce Timm, J.J. Abrams, and Matt Reeves all attached.
That's now, what I had.
We thought initially that this was going to be – the initial reports was this was going to be a sequel series to Batman the Animated Series. And according to these reports now, that is not the case. This is a reimagining of – Batman. This is a. If you look at the image that's up, you know it's the old like 1930s Batman with the long ears and
yeah.
It looks like this is going back to early days, Batman Year One maybe or something like that. Bruce Timm is involved, and that's really all I need to know because yeah. Bruce Timm is responsible for Batman the Animated Series. So I think it's going to be good. And if I'm not mistaken, the Superman series is called Superman and Me. Could be wrong, but it stars
Superman.
But the guy that plays in the boys, Huey, is Jack. I can't remember his name, but he's playing Clark. And this is set, you know, it's like 20 something Superman, and it's. I think it's supposed to focus more on the story, like the newspaper part of it with Lois and Jimmy, and a little bit less on like Superman fighting all the bad guys. But
right.
But yeah, other than that, I don't know who else is attached to this directing wise or the voice cast. But I'm looking forward to both of them. So
cool. Yeah. I really looking forward to that Batman one.
Yeah, for sure.
I like the images we've had so far of it too.
Yeah.
If it's close to that, it should be really good.
Should be good.
Yeah, yep.
Should be good. And again, J.J. Abrams and Matt Reeves. You know, Matt Reeves is going to be responsible for the live action Batman movie. So,
yep.
Obviously, he's got some more stories to tell. Yeah. All right, next.
Back to Star Wars.
Back to Star Wars. I know these notes are all over the place, but like I said, it's 2 weeks worth of news. So, so it was announced that Dave Filoni was promoted to executive producer / creative director at Lucasfilm. This news broke this week and sent Star Wars fans into a frenzy to the point where Disney made a follow-up announcement that this happened like a year ago. They didn't realize the excitement it was going to cause when the news got out. But, yeah, apparently he's been serving in this role for a little while now.
Yeah.
But yeah, that just makes sense, right? Like, think about everything that's great with Star Wars right now, and Dave Filoni's name is attached to it.
So what, he basically took over for what, Patty Jenkins? Not Patty Jenkins. Who do you take over for?
Kathleen Kennedy.
Kathleen Kennedy.
Kathleen
That's
Kennedy is still in the picture. Like, she is still,
but
like...
But she was the executive producer, wasn't she?
I think Kathleen Kennedy is still, like, the Kevin Feige of the whole thing.
Right.
But Dave Filoni is basically the hands-on guy with
right.
everything that's happening now, and I think most of what's getting ready to come up. So
that's awesome.
So it's, yeah, again,
it's awesome.
Couldn't be in better. Yeah, couldn't be in better hands.
Isn't he like our age? I think he's like our age,
might be even a little younger than we are, honestly. But
I thought he was like our age, and like watching him come up, and just knowing what he.
He served at the right hand, you know, served at the right hand of the father. You know what I mean?
How he met him and everything and how he came in. And it was like, it was Lucas like handpicked him.
Yeah.
He was already working for him, but.
Well, he was over there at Nickelodeon though. Like Dave Filoni was working at Nickelodeon, I believe on Avatar. And George Lucas kind of, mentored him into
crazy.
Lucasfilm.
And he was he's just a huge Star Wars fan. It's like one of us getting the job. And that's all
exactly.
it was. It's crazy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and it's been great. You know, it's great to see somebody that loves the product, loves the source material, and, you know, treats it with almost like a reverence. You know, like he just really loves Star Wars.
Right.
And you can see it when you watch like the making of like the Mandalorian and things like that and all the stuff that goes into these things. And it's not lost in the final product.
I mean, no,
you
I know.
See.
It's just, that's why the fans went nuts.
Right.
They were like, oh, it's like any one of us getting the job and being able to be like, all right, now, you know, right. like what you're envisioning is in good hands.
Right. It's just like me or you with the actual talent to make it happen. Right. So, that's the difference. I have the passion and the drive, but I don't have the talent to make it happen. So,
right.
But yeah, that's great news. Even though it's a year.
I know. Hey, we're always the last to know, you know.
but sticking with Star Wars news.
Look at us with continuity.
I know it. It looks like the Rangers of the New Republic, which is the Patty Jenkins. No, I'm sorry, it wasn't the Patty Jenkins.
Yeah,
she had the Rogue. She was doing the Rogue. No, she's doing Rogue Squadron.
Oh, okay.
Like that. Rangers of the New Republic was the one that I think was supposed to go to Disney Plus, but it looks like that is no longer in active development. So that doesn't mean it's canned for good, but it doesn't look like it's something that's actively being worked on at this point. Yeah, I put in my notes that this was the Patty Jenkins vehicle, but it's actually not.
And I think that's why I said her name instead of Kathleen Kennedy, because I'm like, oh,
yeah,
must
she's
have
doing
just
the
it.
Rogues. I realized as I was reading this that they're two different things. But yeah, this was a series that.
So do you think this is because of the whole.
Well, there was rumors that Gina Carano was attached to this, and that was never confirmed or denied, but it looks like it may
famous words.
This could be somewhat backhanded confirmation of that,
right?
Because it looks like it's been shelved for the time being. So,
right. And now I'm wondering if that goes the route of any of like the James Gunn stuff, where you shelve it, let things die down, and then it comes back, and then
could be,
and then she comes back, and you know, you never know.
You never know.
So.
You never know. I don't think Disney's interested in the Gina Carano business anymore, but you never know.
Well, but they've moved on from other people and brought them back.
They have.
So, all right. We're back. We're coming full circle here with more.
Back to,
this
back
is
to
an interesting
Cavill.
One.
Yeah, but now this actually, since I wrote this, looks like it's actually been confirmed now
really?
At this point that Henry Cavill is going to appear in the Highlander reboot. So,
the headline I put great. Up, you think it's great?
Oh, it's, yeah.
The headline I put up is Henry Cavill to star in Highlander reboot, and we're not mad about it. And I'm like, I'm not mad about it. I think he'll be great, but they put in an image from The Witcher.
Well,
and it
looks
like
Duncan,
dead
he
on.
Looks like, Yeah, because he looks like Connor McLeod.
That's what I mean. You know? I'm like, isn't that like two on the nose? You know what I mean? You know what I mean, though? It's like, I'm not saying he's going to be great. We're going to love it. I loved the original Highlander. I feel like it's like, he's just like, oh, yeah, sure. I don't even have to change costume. I can do both of them at the same time.
I can do this after work, you know?
Right. It's like, to me, it just feels too on the nose. Like, but I guess if you fit the role, if you fit the suit, if you're Johnny Bravo, you fit the suit.
Well, and again, that's just whoever's writing the story pulling images because they don't have images of him dressed as Connor McLeod. We're not even 100% sure that this is a direct sequel or reboot of Highlander. We're not even sure what. Like, he might not be Connor McLeod. You know, it may not be a reboot or a sequel. It could be, you know, Highlander has a rich, you know, mythology, so he could be another Highlander, you know. We don't know for sure. But
John, I thought there can only be one.
Well, there can be only one, but
at a time.
They all have to fight. Yeah, they have to fight. So he could be just another one. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, because if you watch the show, it was Duncan McLeod, so there was already two, you know. So, but yeah, I don't know. I like Henry Cavill a lot. I like Highlander a lot. So I don't think there's a wrong way to eat this Reese's. I think there's like.
Well, it was either going to be him or The Rock. So, I mean.
Right, right.
Or Dr. Joe.
At this point now, Henry Cavill is starting to become like The Rock Jr. because.
That's what I mean. He's in like everything and he's not even changing costumes now.
Starting to. Right. Hang on one second. I'm sorry. Work. You know, got to work. Got to make that money. You know, he's got a lot of stuff happening these days. So, but you know, I don't think he's coming back as Superman. So, gotta do something.
Well, not with this schedule, he won't.
Well, exactly. I don't think he has time to come back as Superman.
Yeah. So we'll see. All right. Yep. Last one. Right.
And then last but not least, yes, we have. Looks like we have our premiere month. Anyways, for Titan season 3.
They've whittled it down.
They've whittled it down to August, which I think is great.
And I'm surprised.
I think that's sooner than we thought we were going to get it, even though it's like a year later.
But right. They keep going a month earlier. The original was October. Yep. Then they did September. Now they're doing August, but it's a year later.
Because they've still been announcing casting and filming. So I think August is actually pretty ambitious, but. They must know what, you know, obviously they know what they're doing. So, can't wait. I love Titans. can't wait to get it.
Yep. So looking forward to that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, now what do we do next now? I keep forgetting.
Yeah, we have comics talk. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. All right, John. Hey, you forgot what I said. What am I going to spend my money on this week?
All right. So, first book we're going to take a look at is Abbott 1973, issue number 5. There's an unlockable one-per-store variant on this that's selling for between $17 and $25. So, every store should have at least one, but that's all they have. So,
there you go.
If you want it, get to your store and try to get it.
Hence the title, one-per-store.
Hence the title, yep, one-per-store. Okay, Alien number 3 is a 1 in 25 variant from Philip Tan. Looks like it's selling for right around $30. So that's pretty much right at ratio, or it might even settle a little below that after tomorrow. So,
of all the covers this week, this is my favorite cover of the week.
Yeah?
This is an awesome. I love this cover. Hope I got the right one. But
I hope so, too.
It's not just basically the alien. It's like blue and red, black background. Really, really nice cover. That's my favorite cover of the week. I'm going to try to grab that one.
Are you?
Yeah.
All right. Cool. Well, should be around $25-$30.
Unless you can get it at Newbery Comics.
Hopefully Newbery will have it on the rack for $3.99.
It's a nice cover. Yeah. So we'll see.
Yeah. All right, and sticking with the 1 in 25s, Beta Ray Bill number 3, the 1 in 25, kind of the same that we just talked about. Started out strong between 30 and 40 bucks, but it looks like it's coming back down again. Probably will settle right around 25, 30 bucks for that one. So again, right on ratio there. Now, on the other hand, Black Widow number 7, the 1 in 25 variant is selling for between $50 and up. So definitely one to grab if you can get a deal on it. Probably will continue to stay high. Black Widow's been hot the last couple of issues. So this one should hold its interest.
All right. So let me tell everybody a correction here. The image I have up is not the 1 in 25. Because on your notes, it doesn't say 1 in 25. You just said all cheap copies. So I just figured it was the main copy.
Yeah.
So
no,
I didn't know.
It should be the 1 in 25.
Okay. So yeah. If you're watching this on YouTube, don't go by that image.
Yeah. Look for the 1 in 25.
Look for the 1 in 25. Sorry.
It's all right. It happens. Yep. Yeah, and looking at the notes now, it doesn't say that. But
yeah, it just says all the cheap copies. I was like, oh, okay. Yeah,
but yeah, I know it's the 1 in 25.
All right.
All right. Demon Days X-Men, issue number 1, third printing. So this also has a 1 in 25 variant. So you can imagine there's probably not a lot of 1 in 25s on the third printing out there. Looks like it's going for $50 and up. So this one could stay high because there's probably not that many of them out there.
Yeah.
Miles Morales 26. Again, it seems to be all about the 1 in 25s this week. Sales are between $40 and $50 on this one. There was a listing as low as $15. It probably went too cheap. I would imagine $40 to $50 is going to be the market on this. From Scout Comics, we have Red Shift, issue number 1. Looks like the main cover is selling for $10, and the 1 in 10 variant is going for about $20. So, Scout low print run seems to be the trend with Scout lately.
Those are cool covers.
Yeah, they are. I don't know about the book. I don't know anything about the title, but if you could find it out there, it's worth grabbing. Mm-hmm. Something is Killing the Children, number 16. There's several incentive variants on this one. The 1 in 25 variant is going for right around ratio, maybe a little bit over at $30. The 1 in 50 is selling for about $75, so that's a touch over ratio. And then there was an unlockable 1 per store variant that's selling for about $20.
That was
also
cool.
At least a dozen store and artist exclusive covers.
Oh, yeah.
On this.
There are a ton of covers for this.
This is the origin of Erica Slaughter issue and like kicks off the next story arc. So a lot of covers, a lot of interest in this one here. So definitely one to pick up. Spawn 318, just like the last several issues, Image did a free overship on a black and white D cover. Looks like they're selling for about $10 a piece. Marvel's number 2, there's a 1 in 25 variant that's selling for between $30 and $40. And then finally, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, The Last Ronin number 3. The 1 in 10 variant here is selling for between $20 and $40.
That's a cool cover.
Being that it's a $9.99 cover price, I would think $30 to $40 is more in line. If you could pick one up for $20, you should grab it because that's probably a pretty good price for that.
Cool.
And this book continues to stay hot and keep up steam. So
yeah,
it's not going anywhere.
Is that ongoing?
No, it's 5 issues.
Oh, it's 5? Okay.
Yeah, 5 issues.
Yeah. Looking forward to that one today.
Yeah, me too.
See how I'm staying on day? Look at that.
I know it.
All right. All right. And that'll do it.
That's it for Speculator Roundup.
All right. Let's get into back issue bonus.
Moving into back issue bonus, we have Uncanny X-Men. I forgot about that one. Uncanny X-Men number 1.
Getting back into my groove.
Yeah. Looks like there's there's rumors that Dazzler may make an appearance in Ant-Man 3. I'm not sure where that's coming from because I don't know if that's where we're going to introduce mutants into the MCU. But in any case, Uncanny X-Men is the first appearance of Dazzler. So prices are skyrocketing.
Are going crazy.
Of course. Yeah, like a raw 7.5 copy, which is like very good to find, sold for about $150. A CGC 2.0 sold for $90 yesterday.
Yeah.
And a 9.6 sold for about $900. So,
Jesus.
Again, I don't know if this rumor is going to pan out or not, but sometimes all it takes is a rumor for these books to go crazy. So, all right. From Boom Comics from 2017, Mech Cadet U. This looks like it was optioned for either a series or movie. I'm not sure which. So again, you know the drill on this. Looks like this is selling for about $50, which is pretty high for this book. I actually need to go and check and see if I have any of these because I did at one point.
Yeah.
Didn't have time to check today because I was really busy. But all right, New Avengers number 40. This is from the 2008 series. This is the first appearance of Vernanke, the Skrull Queen.
Queen.
Queen. Yeah. So it looks like this is selling for about $20. But there's a second printing on here with her on the cover, which I guess is pretty scarce, and it's selling for between $150 and $200. A graded 9.8 copy sold a couple of days ago for $600. Obviously, this is tied to the Secret Invasion series coming up on Disney Plus and potential of her showing up there. Injustice, Gods Among Us, issue number 1 from 2013. So they announced, we didn't talk about this in the news, but they announced, DC Animation announced an animated Injustice film that's being worked on. So that has renewed some interest in this book. And it's selling for about $40 currently. Could go higher as we get closer to the movie. Spider-Gwen number 25. The second printing here. This is the second appearance of Gwenom. And it's an homage cover to Amazing Spider-Man 316. This one is on the rise with raw copies selling between $100 and $150. So it's up there pretty high. Seasons Beatings, issue number 1 from 2019. This was a holiday one-shot from, again, 2019. It has a Kang variant cover, and Kang is basically the – I don't know if they're setting him up to be the next big bad in the MCU, but he's definitely the villain in Ant-Man 3. So, you know, anything with him has interest right now. This is selling for about $20. Could be at the dollar bins out there, so you may want to take a look for that.
That'd be interesting.
Hardcore number 1. This is a one-shot from Robert Kirkman. Came out in 2012. Looks like somebody is talking about making a Hardcore movie. So this is now selling for between $40 and $50. Mm-hmm. I don't remember this one. I've never read it, so not familiar with the character.
Looking it up, it looks like it's also called the Pilot. So maybe it was a prequel or something. So maybe that's why it's garnering. Because it's not the first Hardcore.
Okay.
But it is called, I believe it's called like the Pilot, like the early on. So.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, that makes more sense. Because I'm thinking, man, now we're doing movies of one-shot characters.
Right. But I think it was a one-shot that was like, I think it was the third, it was literally the third series, third time it was, you know, whatever, but it's a one shot, but it's called, in parentheses, it's called The Pilot. So.
Okay. All right. Looks like Diablo issue number 1. This is based on the video game franchise. I guess DC in 2012 did a comic of this. I didn't even know that they did this, but looks like there's a movie deal in the works. So $20 to $30 is the going rate.
Well, of course there is.
Yeah, because there's a movie for everything. So,
yep.
I mean, Diablo again. I played the heck out of Diablo I played Diablo 1, 2, and 3, and I played a lot of all of them. So I like the storylines and the characters. So, again, it's ripe for a movie or a series. So could be good. And then last but not least, this is a trend that I really don't like. And I'm kind of in the same boat as the guy that put this note out. This is Previews, issue 370. So if you're not familiar with Previews, Previews is the magazine that comes out 2 months before new books come out and advertises the new things that are coming out. And it's not free. It's
$3.99. Oh, okay. I always got it.
This is basically – this is what we used to order from before, you know, everything went online, and now we do
right.
it. But, you know, used to be you got Previews and – you had an order form and you went through the Previews catalog and you ordered all your comics from it.
Right.
So in issue 370 of Previews, they previewed Something is Killing the Children. All of a sudden now, this is like the first appearance, quote unquote, of Something is Killing the Children. And it has people listing this thing for $100 to $150. I don't buy into this at all because technically – everything is in a Previews magazine 2 months before it hits the stands. So would that not make every single Previews the first appearance of something?
It's funny because like you say you don't like the trend, but it's just people wanting to have it. And if somebody's willing to pay it, I'm all for it.
We talked about a few months ago, I don't even remember what the book was, but like it appeared in an advertisement on the back cover of a comic,
right.
And all of a sudden that is like, you know, what people want as the first appearance.
Wasn't Punchline's first appearance like her eyeball or something? Remember, it was just like one frame.
It was, but at least it was in a comic. It wasn't in Previews, right. And it wasn't. You know what I mean? It's like getting all. It's like saying the movie trailer is the first appearance of, you know, XYZ. I don't know. I mean, like you said, people are going to spend
people want to spend
the money.
Yeah.
That's fine, but it's like I don't know. I just don't like it's no story involved. It's literally just the solicitation for Something is Killing the Children, you know. It's nothing but a cover image maybe. Sometimes they don't even have cover images. They're just a line item on a page that says Something is Killing the Children with an order code and a price.
Yeah.
So I don't know. But anyway, if you're into that, Previews 370 is – I'm going to have to start saving all my – I throw these things away at the end of every month because if they don't sell, they're not useful to anybody anymore because,
right.
You know, the orders are done. So when the new one comes out, I throw the old ones away. Now it looks like I have to start saving those because – they could be worth $100 to $150
that's
at
funny.
Some point. So, anyway, that is the end of Back Issue Bonus.
All righty. All right. You ready to get to FOC?
I am.
All righty.
All right. So, the first book we're going to take a look at is from Dark Horse Comics. It's Black Hammer Reborn. This is issue number one, and it has two covers. I think it looks like they're reimagining the Black Hammer universe once again. So, I don't know. I like these stories, so I'm interested to see what they do here.
Yeah.
Okay. DC. For those that don't know, Monday is Memorial Day, and that means DC FOC is due on Thursday. So as you're listening to this show, you have one day to get into your store and tell them what you want.
Another benefit of us moving it up.
I know it. Yeah, actually, because you would have been hearing this on Wednesday night, on Thursday morning, and that would have been the day. So at least now you have a full day to get in and get your orders in. But FOC for DC is due in a couple days, so I wouldn't wait on these. As far as the covers, we have variant cover for Harley Quinn number 4. This is from Derek Chu.
Mm-hmm.
Looks pretty cool. New series, we have Batman Reptilian issue number 1. This is a 6-issue miniseries with two covers. I love the solicitation for this next one. because they solicit this as the story that everybody's been clamoring for. But I don't know anybody that is. Checkmate issue number one is the continuation of the Event Leviathan storyline from like 2 years ago that like everybody loved and couldn't get enough of.
I didn't mind,
I don't know who's asking for this, but in any case, this is a 6-issue miniseries that obviously picks up where Event Leviathan left off. There's 2 covers available for this issue. Green Arrow 80th anniversary special. So we've gotten several of these over the last 2 years or so.
Crap load
of
covers.
As all their characters are turning 80. So yes, just like the previous versions, there's decades covers available for all of the decades involved. So there's a main cover. There's 8 decades variant covers. There's like a blank cover. So there's at least 10 or 12 covers.
Can't believe Green Arrow's 80.
Yeah, I know it.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Been around a long time.
Yeah.
And there's some cool covers in here. Hmm. So definitely something to look at.
Yeah.
So pick the one you like. They're, I'm sure, $9.99 books. All the other ones have
100-page book. So.
Yeah, you won't be able to buy it. Well, I mean, you won't be able to. I guess if you want them all, you can. But most people don't want all of them. But just like the other ones, stores probably aren't going to go deep on every single cover. So if there's one that you like, you want to get your orders in and make sure you get that particular cover.
Yeah.
And then finally, we have Infinite Frontier, issue number 1. This is a 6-issue miniseries with 2 covers. From Image Comics. Yeah, I thought I was going to say something else, but I'm not, so I'm just going to move on. From Image Comics. It's a live show, folks.
Yes, it is.
We have Spawn Universe. This is actually a one-shot. I have it as issue number 1, but... this is the kickoff of the Spawn universe that Todd McFarlane's been talking about for a few months. There's like 4 new series that are coming down the line in the next couple of months. This is the kickoff issue to set everything up. Multiple covers available for here. This should be super hot. Like Spawn is continuing to pick up steam every month. There's a lot of renewed interest in Spawn, so this book should be one to get. And again, there's a lot of covers to choose from. Also from Image, we have Vinyl issue number 1. This is a 6-issue miniseries, and there's 2 covers available for that. From Marvel, again, we have no variant covers that are really available. Their FOC just dropped today, so they don't have most of those things available. As far as new series go, though, we have Gamma Flight, issue number 1. This is a 5-issue miniseries with multiple covers. And then a couple of one-shots. We have Heroes Return, which is the Omega issue for the Heroes Reborn event that's happening now. Multiple covers available for that. And then the Marvel Voices Pride one-shot has multiple covers. And then lastly, from Titan Comics, we have Extraordinary, issue number 1, with multiple cover options. And that is it for FOC.
All right. That gets us to checkout. And, All right, John, what are we... I know what we're talking about. But let's start with your first book, because I read both of these.
So okay. That's what we got. So the first book is Time Before Time, issue number 1. This is from Image Comics. It was written by Declan Shalvey and Rory McConville. It had art by Joe Palmer and Chris O'Halloran. Cover art by Declan Shalvey. I'm going to pull a DJ on this one and admit that I don't recall
book
very well.
Yeah.
I read this a bit ago. This book came out 2 weeks ago.
It's funny.
I meant to get back to it and reread it.
Yeah.
I didn't get a chance to do that today. I don't remember all the details of this. Other than that, basically there's like a criminal organization called the Syndicate, and they, for a price, will smuggle you back in time to like a better life. So you know, focuses on some of these guys that work for the syndicate. And one of the guys decides he's going to steal one of the boss's time machines to go back and go back in time. And I liked it. I did like it. I'm just trying to, like, I don't really
recall it. It's 2 weeks old now, John. Yeah. So I think we can talk a few spoilers.
Well, it's not even that. It's just I don't really.
No, but I was going to try to.
Yeah, like, so you can help me out.
Yeah. Well, remember he had a partner that he wanted to go back with. They were going to steal a machine.
Right.
And go back. They only had 8 of them. But then his partner went back but got stuck. Remember, but you didn't know that. It was such a great page turner.
Yeah.
I won't reveal it, but do you understand what I'm talking about?
I do. Yeah.
Okay. I thought that was a great part of the story. And I'm like, it's just the whole idea of, obviously we've all read the time travel stories or watched them on movies. I thought this was a pretty cool one. And while I was reading it, going through what we just went through, with COVID, it dawned on me, and I'm sure this has dawned on smarter people earlier. But I think they actually they showed it in The Simpsons when didn't Homer go back in time and sneeze and then all the dinosaurs started falling down?
Right.
Wasn't that an episode? So I thought of this because of this, something in this book reminded me, like, was like, what if you went back in time? Say you went back in time with whatever virus. It might not even be anything bad to us now because of how we've evolved. But if you go far enough back, what if you brought something back that literally killed off the human race? You step out of your time machine and then disappear because you just made us go extinct.
Right.
Isn't that a possibility? Or did Bruce Banner say that can't happen that way?
Well, it depends, because you have the MCU version of time travel, and then you have, you know, the Legends of Tomorrow version of time travel. And, you know, everybody has their version of what happens in time travel. You know, some people say, you know, you like if you go with the MCU version, you can't go back and kill baby Hitler because, you know,
you'll just kill that version. Right. But that timeline goes on. But now this new timeline, because you're on a timeline. So, yeah, it gets very confusing.
Right. But then if you go back to like the Legends of Tomorrow version, if you go back and kill baby Hitler, then you've changed everything. So,
right. Which is the Back to the Future timeline.
Exactly.
Right. Where he started to disappear. So, like, I was sticking with the Back to the Future timeline, where if you do something that changes your present, which is in the future from where you're standing. And I'm like, but needless to say, I mean, this book, it's 2 weeks old now, but I really enjoyed it. Really enjoyed it. And I love that there was, like I said, it was a page turner. It was a page turner to the characters in the story, the way they did it. It was a page turner to us. I just think it's a great story and it's fairly unique. I can't say it's never been done before for the way they did the time travel here, but I really, really enjoyed it. And I thought it was different from most of the time travel stuff that we've seen or read in the past. So really enjoyed it. But all right. Fantastic Four, life story number one, John.
Yeah. Okay.
Do you remember this one?
I do actually. Okay. This one I read yesterday.
Oh, okay.
Before time I read like a week and a half ago. So,
yeah.
Yeah, Fantastic Four life story. This is a 6-issue miniseries. Obviously, it's from Marvel Comics. It was written by Mark Russell. Had art by Sean Isaacs. Cover art by Daniel Acuna. So, yeah, this is basically, you know, if you read Spider-Man life story last year, this is a similar story.
2 years ago.
2 years ago, actually. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
You know, it takes basically the beginning of the Fantastic Four in the 60s, and it's going to follow them in real time through the decades. So this issue one pretty much encompassed the 1960s. This, like in Spider-Man life story, it was a little bit different from the traditional backstory, but it wasn't significantly different. But I felt like this was a big departure from like the Fantastic Four origin that we're familiar with.
You know,
the crux of it at the end of the day is they get in a spaceship and they go into space and get their powers. And that hasn't changed. But this is, you know, the circumstances surrounding it were very different. You know, in this book, Reed works for the government, and he was part of a project that was funded by the government to send
works
a
for
ship
Kennedy
into space. Yes,
they actually say is you know like
and
I
so it
that
looks
was
like
cool.
They lost the space race. Like the Russians got to space before we did, and we're trying to play catch up. And Reed has developed a fuel type that that the you know for his ship that the government is funding. But then at the last minute, they decide to pull out, and they're going to pull the funding. So the night before this is to take place, Reed decides that he's going to, you know, go forward and take his ship into space. And, you know, we kind of all know what happens there. Like, they go into space, they get their powers, they become the Fantastic Four. But, you know, then they come back. You know, while they're out there, Reed gets a glimpse of Galactus. And
yeah,
that kind of haunts him a little bit throughout the rest of this first issue, because he's convinced that what he saw was real and that there's an imminent threat coming. And nobody really believes him. You know, ultimately, this was very interesting. It made a lot of changes, though, to the dynamic of the team. And I wasn't a huge fan of most of the changes, unfortunately. Like, the central relationship between Reed and Ben was significantly different in this book. You know, in the previous incarnations, you know, Ben and Reed are lifelong friends that have, you know, gone through a lot together, and they go into space together. In this incarnation, Ben's just a guy. Like, they need somebody to pilot the ship. You know, it's somebody that Johnny knows from somewhere. They never really say from where.
I felt like, and Johnny was a lot younger, too.
He was. And so, you know, it ultimately changed that the whole storyline. Because, you know, one of Reed's biggest character points is the guilt that he feels for what happened to Ben. Where in this case, that's not present, right? Like, there's no attachment between Ben and Reed here.
It's funny because I was wondering if that was because of the way they were jumping from, like, year to year. Because we basically through the decades.
It did
decades,
move very quickly.
So, yeah,
because
there wasn't a lot of detail.
Right.
So I was wondering if that was
all
why.
All of the 60s in one issue. But I don't know. I feel like the relationship – that there's two relationships, really, that were very different, because – Ben and Johnny have a very specific relationship in the comics as well. You know, there's that, like, you know, at the end of the day, they're team members, and I'm sure they love each other and all of that. But, you know, they're always at each other, right?
They're right. They're like brothers.
Yeah. They're brothers that are always, like, at each other's throats. And that wasn't really here in this either, because, again, there's no connection. Like, Ben is just a guy that they pick up. Now, Ben, on the other hand, is furious at Reed for what happened to him and doesn't seem like he's really going to forgive him ever. I don't know. Like, I know this is just an Elseworld story and it's a what if, and it's fine. And I, you know, I like some of the things they're doing, but I don't understand the change there. And I think it takes away a little bit from the characters, because, you know, at the end of the day, Reed has no guilt. Like, he might feel bad that, that Ben turned into a rock guy, but it's not a central thing. Like, it's just collateral damage. It's not like he's going to spend his life trying to reverse that effect. He could care less, really.
Right.
You know, so.
Yeah, it felt like the story was, like, the exact opposite. Like, almost like Reed doesn't feel guilt. Because, like, one of the running themes throughout the story is, like, well, mistakes happen.
Mm-hmm. Like, well, that's what I'm saying. It's just fallout. It's just collateral damage.
Yeah, it's like, well, we're scientists. Mistakes happen. You know, things go wrong, and we make the best of it.
Like, I think in the Spider-Man life story, you know, it did that whole real time through the decade story, but, like, I never felt like Peter wasn't Peter. You know, and
but the difference,
like, I never
being,
felt like he wasn't Spider-Man. But in this case, the dynamic feels so different than the Fantastic Four. That, you know, again, I'm on board because it's one of those type of stories that I'm interested to see what happens. But, yeah, I don't know. I don't know why those changes were made, and I think it hurts the story a little bit. So
yeah, Yeah, it was because I was reading it and I was like, wow, I got to ask John if he's seen this before, because I didn't. It seemed familiar, but not familiar. Right. And I'm like, am I not remembering things right? I'm like, is this the original story? I don't know. But yeah,
it's definitely
it was
not.
Off. And but it was still good.
It was good.
It was a really good story. I love the artwork too.
You know, if anything reads guilt in this is because of Galactus, because you know it was their trip into space that alerts Galactus to the existence of Earth.
That's how the book winds up. It's like him being like, "I did this to Earth,"
right? Which again, that's a very big departure from the comics, because in the comics, Silver Surfer stumbles upon Earth and brings Galactus to Earth. That was his job. Whereas in this one, it's Reed who's responsible for this impending, you know, disaster that's coming. So, if anything, his central guilt is based on that, and it doesn't have anything to do with Ben or, you know, the team or anything like that.
I love the line that he said when he was on that, like, what talk show was it? It wasn't Carson. But it was an actual...
No, well, I think it was an unknown. It was a...
No, I feel like... Not Merv Griffin, but it was somebody
Dick
that
Cavett
is known.
Somebody.
Yeah, like you'd be... What name did you say?
Dick Cavett.
I think that's who it was. I knew it looks like somebody that was real, but the line that he said... Because they asked, like, where are all the aliens? Because supposedly they said, oh, there's probably millions of them out there. But then his line was, we are the fortunate survivors of our own obscurity, which I thought was great. And how he explained it after the fact of like, look, the only, you know, the reason they haven't found it, that's why we're here. Because if somebody think of that outside of comics.
Because what did he say? It's like a self-defeating prophecy or something.
Yeah.
He said something and I don't remember exactly what it was. But yeah, the gist of it was, like you said, once they know of our existence, that's the end of the road for us.
Done. Yeah, it's like it's like you want to know if there's somebody else is out there, but once you find out that there is, that means they're probably coming here.
Right. That means they found out about you too.
Right. Yeah. So it's like when I read that, I was like, wow, that's really interesting to even think of it that way. And like I said earlier, I'm like, there's smarter people than us out there. And I'm sure this has all been thought of by other people. But we're learning about it in a comic book. Like, that's a great philosophy, huh? And it's like, that's why it's so good to read, kids. You never know when you're going to learn something.
That's right.
But yeah.
Or
from where, exactly. I also liked in, I think, one of the last pages, if not the last page, I think it was the last frame, how they had the moon landing on the TV, but it was like the actual picture of the black and white TV screen with all of like the, you know, animated artwork around it. But it was, you okay?
You
call 911?
Yeah. call 911. What's your emergency?
Yeah. But yeah, I thought that was pretty cool. The black and white image on the colored animated picture. So that was pretty nice. But yeah, I'm obviously Fantastic Four. You can't go wrong. So, but it was a good book. Good book. Really good book. Just a little bit different. Don't, you know, which I guess is kind of a good thing, because you don't want to have it exactly the same.
It is, you know, again, at the end of the day, it's a what if type of story. But I think you could have done it without radically changing the central characters.
Yep.
You know, again, being a what if type of story, I'm on board, because it's not canon, right? They can do whatever they want. At the end of the day, when I get the next issue of the Fantastic Four, it's still going to be the same.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. All right, John, what do we have coming up next week?
We're going to read, or I'm going to try to read, a book called Blue Flame.
Yep.
And that's from Vault Comics, issue number one. And then from Image Comics, we have Made in Korea, issue number one. So.
All right.
Those are the books that we should be
talking about. Did we talk about that cover earlier? Made in Korea?
Because
that cover looks familiar to me.
Well, it was on FOC a few weeks ago. We might have talked about it then.
Then we definitely did.
Yeah.
Because that's what we do.
Yeah, we do.
All
it's a whole ecosystem we have here. You know,
yes.
We talk about it in FOC, and then, 3 weeks later, it magically appears in our stores, and then we read it.
Yeah, and I've got, because of that, now people are going to hear this now, but already know about the open, but you don't know about the open yet, but people are, I got something special planned for our open because of our change in time and everything. So we'll have that all set up in our open, but people are hearing me talk about it now, and they go, yeah, I already
heard it.
And
they've already heard it, yeah.
And you don't even know what it is yet.
The beauty of show business.
Time travel right there.
That's right. That's some time travel stuff right there.
I'm talking to one of my listeners from my home theater, and he's in Australia. And we're going back and forth about something. He goes, I'll check out on this when I get home. I'm on my way to work now. And this was like yesterday afternoon, and I was on my way home from work. And I was like, you're starting your Tuesday, and I'm ending my Monday. And I said to him, I go, is that time travel? He's like, yes, it is.
I'm talking to the future.
It's awesome.
Who wins the ball game?
Yeah. I was just glad to know there was a Tuesday.
Right. Because the world's not ending.
Proof,
I have proof there's a Tuesday.
My boy Theo's alive.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get to real world.
Yeah. So I actually had to write these down so I wouldn't forget, because I had 2 whole weeks of real world.
Oh no. So, all right. Let me get comfortable here.
Yeah. I watched quite a bit of stuff actually. Weeks.
Oh God.
Quite a bit of stuff.
I
haven't written
dinner
all written
tonight,
down.
But I guess
so I didn't
I won't
forget.
Be.
Yeah. Well, we don't have to go deep on them all. It's they're here. So, yeah. So first thing, we watched Jupiter's Legacy. So I know you had started it. Yes.
I'm halfway through.
Yeah. You had started it last time we talked, but I hadn't started it. So, yeah, we watched all of that.
What'd you
think? I actually really liked it. Yeah.
I'm loving
it. I had heard bad things about it going into it, and I wasn't as excited for it, but after I watched it, I really liked it. Now, I will say that I think the flashbacks of them getting, like him being crazy and them getting their powers, was at least one episode too long. Maybe 2 episodes too long.
Okay.
Like that seemed to me like it dragged out longer than it needed to. But the overall story and like the present day stuff, I thought was really good. I really liked this series. Now, I will say, I mentioned before we watched this, that I had read the comic. At least the first volume of the graphic novel. I didn't recognize most of what happened in the show from that story. So I think that all the flashback stuff, I think, as you were mentioning, was probably Jupiter's Circle or something. No, I read Jupiter's Legacy.
Did you? Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
or at least that's what it was called when I read it.
That's the thing is Martin, like I said, Martin on Nerdy Legion went over it and broke it all down and said like it's all mislabeled. So,
but I hadn't read any of that backstory stuff. Let's put it that way.
Right. Right.
I knew the current stuff, and since you're not finished with it, I'm not even going to reveal the ending. But I remembered.
I'll have it done by next week, and we could talk.
Like I said, I remembered the ending of it, and like ultimately how it shakes out, that stuff I remember from the comics, but a lot of the other stuff I don't remember, or it wasn't part of what I read. So like I said, ultimately I think it was really good. But I also wanted to mention you mentioned the opening of it and how you felt like it had a very Daredevil vibe to it.
Just the music and the way the opening looks.
Stephen DeKnight, who did Daredevil, did this show. So,
oh, nice.
There's a big reason why it had a Daredevil feel to it.
I didn't know that.
Because as I was watching it, I only watched the credits for episode one, because after the first episode, you just skip through them. But as
well,
it was playing out,
I like them.
And it did have a bit of a Daredevil feel, but then I saw the name and I was like, oh, well, that's the same guy. So that's why.
See?
It had that feel. So,
I knew it. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. That's funny. All right.
All right.
So that's the first thing.
That was the first thing we watched.
We got a bunch to go.
Yeah. So I watched Without Remorse. which I had been wanting to see. That was the
I haven't seen that yet.
Michael B. Jordan movie on Amazon Prime. Actually really liked it, yes.
Cool.
This is not a Jack Ryan story. So it's Tom Clancy book, but this is not a Jack Ryan story. So it's a completely different character.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure when I saw it because Jack Ryan's his famous character who's in most of his books, but this was a different character altogether. Really enjoyed the movie. It was definitely set up for a potential franchise. Like, this thing has multiple ways it can go from here in with additional movies. So, Michael B. Jordan,
he's just awesome.
He's an action
everything.
Star. Yeah. I mean, he's really good in it.
He's a good actor too.
Yeah.
Not just action, he's
like
a good
actor. Navy SEAL. I don't think he was a Navy SEAL, but like he's a Special Forces guy.
Yeah.
And obviously things happen in his life that cause him to have to go on a mission of revenge. And he does so without remorse. So
you just gave away the title to me.
I did, yeah. definitely recommend that. Also watched Those Who Wish Me Dead, which is the Angelina Jolie movie that came out on HBO Max.
How was that
she
one?
She plays like a firefighter.
Yep.
Also really good.
Cool.
I thought this was a really good movie. It has also John Barenthal plays like the male lead in this. And a lot of forest fires. Takes place in California, so again, she's
there you go. It's timely.
She's a firefighter, and obviously there's a bunch of that there. But this is at the end of the day, like a murder mystery movie, it's pretty good. It also had the main bad guy was Littlefinger from Game of Thrones.
Oh, wow!
And he's really good in this too. Plays a good scumbag.
Yes, he does.
Yeah. So.
Hey.
So that was that. From there, we watched Mosquito Coast. This is a series on Apple TV. It had four episodes had dropped when we started it, and then episode five dropped on this past Friday. So we are current on this show. I think there's two or three episodes left. Also really enjoying this, although I don't still haven't figured it out yet. Like, I don't know exactly what the thing is, but ultimately it's a family that's on the run from the government who are after them for something we still don't know what yet. But they're trying to make their way out of the country. They're trying to get to Mexico to meet some people that can help them. So there's a bunch of time spent with, some coyotes trying to get them across to Mexico from California. And, a lot of good action. Pretty good show. I've seen the actress that plays the wife. I've seen her in other things before. Other than that, I don't recognize anybody that's in it. So, bunch of new people, but it's pretty good. I watched Castlevania season 4, which was the final season. I just finished that last night. That had 10 episodes. So if you've watched Castlevania, I told you there was a lot.
I know. I'm just how you take all this in.
If you've watched Castlevania seasons 1 through 3, this is the same. It's just the.
Oh, I forgot you. I also gave you last week off, so you had
time I had 2 weeks.
Kill.
Yeah, I watched a bunch of Castlevania.
No,
last
I mean
Tuesday,
like you had no show to do last week either, so
right.
You had even
That's what
more
I'm saying.
Time.
I watched a whole bunch of TV. But yeah, Castlevania was great. Good ending to that story. If you've watched, like I said, the first 3 seasons and you liked them, this will be right up your alley. This is pretty good. Checked out Army of the Dead.
Oh yeah,
Friday. Zack Snyder zombie movie.
Check that one out. I saw that as well.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I mean, it's a zombie movie.
Yeah.
It's a Zack Snyder movie. Is what it is. It's not gonna break. It's not gonna win any awards, but it was fun.
Yeah, that's what Jen and I thought. I watched it Sunday morning. I enjoyed it. I'm not a zombie fan.
Yeah.
I'm not a zombie movie fan, but I enjoyed it. I'll say though, I did. I mean, for those people that listen to both podcasts, this is what you're going to hear on Friday's podcast when I give my review of it and the Home Theater podcast. But I actually liked Zombieland better.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. Did you see Zombieland?
I've seen both Zombieland movies.
Yeah, I like Zombieland better.
Zombieland was fun, more fun. It was more of a comedy.
Comedy, yeah. You know,
more fun to it. I liked this show. Seemed to introduce some new elements to the zombie mythos, though, I guess, yeah. Because traditionally zombies are mindless feeders, right? Like that's all.
No spoilers. Let's not do spoilers.
Right. But they're slow. Like the thing with zombies is
I've seen that in the past, though. I thought
they're
maybe
kind of
that's
like inevitable, though.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
It's not so much that they're fast, like they're going to chase you down and get you. But they move in a herd and they just keep coming and eventually they're going to catch up to you and get you. But it's all instinct driven. This was a bit different. Like this introduced like tactical zombies, like planning.
Yeah.
There's intelligence to the alphas and they're not slow and methodical.
There's
like
a purpose to them.
They're going
to
get you.
Right.
It also introduced like zombie animals, which you never usually see.
Yeah,
like the animals
cool.
are generally
that's in the trailer.
Yeah, but animals are generally like immune to the zombie virus. Like you never see zombie horses and tigers and things, but you do see them here in this movie. So I thought there was some new things that I hadn't seen before. But at the end of the day, this is just like Ocean's 11. It's like a heist movie. They're putting together a team to go in and, you know, rob a casino, and there's zombies.
I feel like this movie is just a setup for what else they want to do, because what I found interesting was even more so than the movie itself. I think the movie is like, it's like a roller coaster ride, right? Like where you just have fun with it and you just enjoy the sights and sounds. And in the theater, it was a lot of fun and very colorful, very action packed, very, you know, great sound around the room, which is great. But at the very opening scene, and that, I mean, it's not really a spoiler, but it's the very opening scene. You saw those white dots in the sky and then they take off when they say roll out or whatever, it's like literally the opening of the movie. And then those two white dots in the sky take off. So there's an alien element here or something going on that never comes up again. So right. I know I've heard that he's, you know, Snyder's planning prequels to this.
Yeah, this should be a whole verse.
But then they end
it the dead verse.
Where clearly, I won't give away the ending, but clearly
there's a sequel.
So yes. I feel like this was just a fun story that literally, no spoilers, but at the end of the day, was not a lot of fun for the characters involved, right?
Oh, no.
But that what's more intriguing to me and what I love about what Snyder did here is it's almost what's to come and what came to make this movie, like the prequels to this, are almost more interesting to me than the actual movie itself, if that makes sense. You know, it's like I want the full story around this. I feel like we just got like the middle chapter here. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun to watch this develop. And I think Netflix and Snyder, holy cow. Was it Netflix? Yeah, it was Netflix, right?
It was Netflix.
Yeah, not HBO Max. Yeah.
Yeah, it
was Netflix. So that's, you know, that was my take on it. So
yeah.
And don't worry, Home Theater fans, there'll be more of the Home Theater part on Fridays too.
Yeah. All right. A couple more. Excuse me. We watched The Woman in the Window on HBO Max. This was the movie with Amy Adams. And
yes, I saw that as well.
What's her name? From Boogie Nights. Juliette Lewis.
Is that, no, her name? No. It's
not Juliette Lewis.
Yes.
Julianne Moore.
Julianne Moore.
Yeah, Julianne Moore. And it had Gary Oldman.
Yes, he is awesome.
Yeah, so this is Amy Adams plays a woman who has agoraphobia, which is, you know, fear of going outside. And she's stuck in her house, spends a lot of time looking out the window, right? Like observing all her neighbors and,
yeah,
you know, true to form in these type of movies, she sees some things that she doesn't think, you know, are on the up and up, and
right,
gets involved in this mystery that's happening with the neighbors. And I don't want to get into a lot of details on it, but yeah, a psychological thriller kind of, you know, it leads you in a few different directions. Like on the one hand, originally you're kind of all in with her and, you know, you think you know what's going on. And then like halfway through the movie, they reveal her trauma. And then you feel like, well, maybe you don't know what's going on after all.
Right.
And then the third act comes and you find out you never knew what was going on at all. So,
no.
The one thing I noticed when I made the comment to Lydia when I was watching this movie, because we've seen other movies like this. Like there was a movie with like Sigourney Weaver or something where,
yeah,
she had like agoraphobia and she wasn't able to go outside. And I've noticed that it's always people in these movies that can afford to not go outside.
Go outside.
You know, like if I had agoraphobia, like I'd be living in a box because I can't afford to not leave,
right,
my house and, you know, not go to work.
I was thinking
these are always rich people,
right,
that can afford to have this. That's a rich person's disease.
You don't
poor
get
people
that.
Can't,
yeah,
have,
yeah,
that, you know, so
yeah, you don't
poor
get
people
that
don't
disease
get agoraphobia.
As,
yeah,
yeah, exactly. You don't get that disease in that way. It's you have to be enabled to have that disease.
Exactly.
I'm sorry. I know. Yeah. Doctors are all the doctors
know,
out there listening. I'm like,
I'm sure there's poor people that have it too.
It's
but
called
I
being
always,
enabled.
Yeah, it's like, I always noticed. All right, I thought about it when I was watching this. It's like, well, it's
right,
convenient that she can afford to stay home.
Right,
and,
like when Howard
and, like,
wasn't
the other
it
one
Howard
was Sigourney
Hughes
Weaver,
was
wasn't she like a? Yeah, but she was, yeah, like an author, like a best-selling author or something,
yeah,
and had all the money in the world. So
living
they can
in
afford
a
to stay in
multi-million.
Yeah, in.
You know what that house probably cost?
Oh,
in
yeah,
New York
the house
City,
across the street, they said sold for $5.5 million. So
yeah, and hers was insane.
Yeah, like, and it also had what's his name, Wyatt Russell, was in it.
Yeah,
who played from Falcon Winter Soldier. He was in it as well. A lot of good people in it. Ultimately, it was a pretty good movie. Like it was a little slow at times.
Yeah, Mackie and Russell
were
in it. I'm like, oh,
yeah,
look at that.
Well, that's both true. I didn't even put that together that both of those were,
yeah,
in that movie. But yeah. Like I said, pretty good thriller. You know, I don't think you'll get it like as you're watching it. To me, the ending, you know, I didn't figure it out, so it kind of got me. So,
well,
I think
Jen read the
good
book, and
oh,
I
did she?
Yeah, Jen had read the book, and she's like,
okay,
the book's so much better. So,
well, it always is.
I was interested, but they left so much out of the book. I'll tell you afterwards, but it's like she thought like that movie was kind of like lost, and that's kind of the point of it. And it's like I wanted,
yeah,
to get somebody else's take because I went through it. I didn't read the book, but I watched the movie with somebody that did read the book, and all she was saying,
right,
well, this was different and this was different. So I didn't really,
right,
get to take it in out of like just absorbing it. So I'm glad that you enjoyed it because we were kind of like, this is just weird. And it really was kind of weird. We weren't,
it was,
we
and
didn't
like
think
said, it
was
a little slow,
bad, but we were like, all right, it was just like, yeah. I'll tell you a little later, but it was decent. And like you said, the payoff at the end is like, wow, where did that come from?
Yeah.
And she was saying like, when you read the book, the payoff's even better because you see, they give you even more information on how that happened. So
right,
it's pretty good. Okay. Keep going on your list.
All right,
checked
well,
off a couple of mine already.
Yeah. This is the last one.
Oh,
this, you're going to make fun of me here. But this is going to be my real world probably for the next 4 months. This is the only thing it's going to be. So,
So
my wife gets me hooked on this Mexican soap opera.
Oh no!
That she kind of tricked me into watching.
We don't have to list everything, you know.
But
tune into,
yeah,
the Bryce
so
chat.
She's like,
you're turning red just talking about it.
She's like, hey, I want to watch this show, right? And it's got this actress, the one that played in Bad Boys for Life, she played like the mother, like the main bad guy, Kate Del Castillo or whatever. She's like, yeah, she's got this show on Netflix. It's 2 seasons. It's supposed to be really good. You know, she's like a, you know, it's like a drug show, smuggling,
yeah,
and all this. And I'm like, yeah, I'll watch it. You know, whatever. You know, she watches a lot of my stuff. So I was like, I'll watch it. And then I get to go in to put it on and – I wanted to see like how many episodes there were. And I look at season one and I was like, there's like 60 episodes for season one. I was like, whoa, what is going on here, right? And then
that's how they do it down in Mexico.
And there's like 64 episodes. So I was like, babe, there's 124 episodes of this show, right? And she's like, well, we don't have to watch it, you know? And I'm like, you know, here I'm feeling, but I'm guilty, right? Because I make her watch tons of stuff that I want to watch. So I was like, oh, well, we'll put it on, right? And we'll see how it is. So I watched the first episode.
What's it
and
on?
It's on Netflix. And then it comes on.
Is
and then
it on
you can
everybody's
tell right away,
Netflix or just because you're down
it's
there?
It's on everybody's Netflix. As soon as it comes on, you can kind of tell. It's got that soap opera effect, you know. Like,
oh,
the picture
frames?
Always looks different, right?
Yeah,
so as soon as it comes on, I was like, I think this is like a soap opera, right? Because I could tell by looking at it. And then, you know, as I'm watching it, I'm getting into it. I'm like, this is definitely a soap opera. So I told my wife, I was like, you know, we're in the middle of episode two. And I was like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this, babe. I think you're going to be on your own on this one. But like by the end of that one, I was kind of like, oh, it's every single day is a cliffhanger, right? Because that's a soap opera.
Right.
So I was like, oh, well, now I got to see the next one. And then I'm watching the next one. And it doesn't hurt that this woman is like pretty attractive and running around in her underwear like the whole first two episodes, right? I was like, I'll watch all of these if she's going to run around in her underwear the whole time. But so then the next thing I know, I'm like 12 episodes deep on this, and now I'm like hooked. So I'm like,
that's like, hey, I mean, we've all
like,
been there.
You're kidding me, right?
Yeah.
But I'm like, but now I'm into it for 124 episodes.
What's the name of it again?
It's called La Reina del Sur, which is the Queen of the South. Is
oh
what
my
it,
God.
What it, what it translates to. But I was like, oh, DJ is going to have a field day with this one because like I'm watching like a Mexican novella. It's all in Spanish. Like I have to read the whole thing for 124 episodes.
Oh,
so,
it's close.
It's captioned. Yeah. It's in Spanish. It's Mexican. But
all right,
it's
out.
Not something I expect. I'm like a recommend. Like nobody needs to watch it. Like,
no.
It's actually pretty good though. But the thing is, you get to watching it and it's like you kind of get into it for a while because the story's actually really good. And then all of a sudden something happens and you're reminded that you're watching a soap opera because all of a sudden there's like this one scene that's like so overacted and everybody's crying. And it's like, oh yeah, I'm watching a soap opera. You know what I mean?
Oh, God.
So yeah, but that's going to take me a while, so that's kind of what I'm going to be watching for the next couple of months.
Jen does it to me all the time. She'll put on – I just want to try this movie. It's like a Lifetime movie of the week or something. And she falls asleep, and I'm stuck sitting there watching it. And she'll wake up later. How was it? Oh, it was really good.
Yeah, but crap. It's not 124 episodes.
No. So. It was 124 minutes maybe. But
yeah.
Wow, you're crazy.
Yeah, I know.
All right. Let's see. What do I got different here? We're still going on Big Sky. I know you are. Mayor of Easttown. Have you seen that?
I am caught up until this week. I haven't watched the last episode yet.
Okay. We just started it last night. We watched episode one. And I was like kind of slow, kind of this and that because it's the first episode, right? And I had zero idea what it was. She wanted to see it. And I was like, okay. And then you get to the ending of that first episode, and I was like, holy cow. Oh,
yeah,
I didn't know
it
was this kind of movie. I thought this was just going to be like a everybody's weird in this town type movie.
Yeah.
So all in on that. Looking for – actually, I think we're going to try to watch an episode when we're done here, but looking forward to that.
Yeah, that's really good. Actually, really good.
Yeah. Did I tell you about Justice Society World War II?
Yes, you did.
Okay.
I still haven't watched that yet.
I mentioned that. And The Warrior. Really enjoying Warrior. Yeah.
How deep are you now?
I'm almost done with season one. Okay. Almost done with season one.
Jen's still not watching that with you?
No.
I think she'd like it.
I'll talk to you off air. It's not easy to get to watch shows together.
Yeah, no, I understand. But I'm just saying, I think she would like it at the end of the day. It's pretty good, but...
Oh, yeah, I actually do too.
Yeah.
But I haven't watched. I've been really busy. I haven't, you know, like I said last week, I haven't mentioned it yet, but in this podcast. But yeah, my daughter graduated last week. So
yeah, awesome.
Really excited about that. Got that. Did you listen to the whole podcast I put out last week or just parts of it?
I didn't listen to a single second of it. Honestly,
it was only 2 minutes long.
I know. I didn't listen to any of it. I saw that it was 2 minutes, and I was like, I already know the story, so I'm not gonna listen to it. So I just deleted it.
It's funny. It's like I put it out, and I'm like, great. And we got zero reply, which is good, because if we don't put out a if I put out a tweet saying, sorry, no podcast, I get all these requests. Where's the podcast? Right. Where's the podcast? So I smartened up last week. I'm like, oh, I'll do it. And literally put the podcast out as we were leaving, because I was like, oh, I got to go downstairs. I recorded it and published it in like 5 minutes. I was like, whoops.
Right.
Almost forgot that. But yeah, that was fun. We had, it was like almost 90 degrees on when she got pinned. She's a nurse. So she gets pinned first on day one. That was 2.5 hours long.
Yeah.
And then the actual graduation, they flew through in an hour. 358 kids, they flew through in an hour and 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And we were like, yeah, they're cooking. Because when they pin them, they call, like, Joanna Smith. And then you wait and wait. And then when that one's done, and they're like, Debbie Gibson or whoever, right? It's like the next one. And then the graduation, it's like, Joanna Smith, Debbie Gibson. But trucking them through. It was great. So
yeah, I saw all the pictures, so I knew you were busy a lot last week.
But yeah. So
see, it's the opposite. Like this, that was the most I've watched in months. Like for the last 2 weeks, I had like all kinds of time, but I haven't watched that many shows in a long time. So
lucky duck.
I know. It felt like we had a lot of time to sit around and watch TV.
Did you do you remember? Let's get to it. Did you remember Bad Batch episode 4?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I only have episode 4 in my head. I don't even remember episode 3. To be honest with you.
Was that the one where she was escaping? I don't even. Yeah, you're right.
I have episode 4.
Episode 4 was Fennec Shand. Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't want to give it away, but. Yeah, we can.
I mean, everybody's seen it by now. It's 5 days old.
I thought when they first showed her, I thought my immediate thought was the assassin from Attack of the Clones.
Oh yeah,
in the movie, right?
Right.
And I was like, wait a minute, and like I was like, this it's not the right timeline. This is after that, so. Right. We know that one didn't survive. So I was like, immediately. And then when they revealed who it was, I was like, ooh, this is really cool.
And, well, I got it. Because we knew she was in it. Like, if you remember, we knew Ming-Na Wen and Fennec Shand were going to be in it. So I kind of figured it out right away. But
yeah,
I can definitely see. She looks like the, what was her name? Zam Wessel or something, which is the.
Good for you. I have no idea.
Attack of the Clones, yeah. Wow, you know, I I go pretty deep on that stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, it did look like her, but I knew who it was, so it was kind of.
But I will say though, Fennec Shand is ruthless.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
That's
well, and you don't know exactly what her motivations are.
No, like, we don't know
who
that
she's working
yet.
For, you know.
Yeah.
She definitely wanted to get Omega, but you kind of felt like she was trying to help her too, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
but she'll do anything to help her, and I mean, she killed a lot.
Oh yeah, she's pretty ruthless.
Yeah, I mean, we know in Mandalorian's timeline is years after this,
right? But you also know she's kind of, you know, she's that killer with the heart of gold. You know what I mean? She's got, you know, she's obviously she's got,
I don't know about like gold, a code, but she's got a heart.
But you know what I mean? Like, you know that she has. Like some good motivations because we've seen it in The Mandalorian. But yeah, you don't know exactly what she's doing and who she's working for. So
yeah.
It'd be interesting to see. I'm sure we'll see her more before the season's out. So yeah, be interested to find out what's going on there.
Yeah. Yeah. Looking forward to that as always. And that's it. We don't have anything for Kryptonite this week, do we?
I don't think so.
I mean, we.
I mean, Bad Batch is good, but I mean, there's nothing like that we need to.
No, that's actually an interesting point that I wanted to mention. Bad Batch is fantastic, but it's so different from everything else. It's not like, oh, that action scene or oh, this. It's just right. so deep in story. It's very like right. rich, and you just want to know. You really have to pay attention, and it's. Yeah. Like, where is it going? Even going back to episode one, the little nuggets they opened it up with that you're like, okay, where is that going? And like you said, then it's like, oh, read this comic to get the background on some of that stuff. And right. but there's just so much stuff that, you know, Filoni's fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And like I said, there, it just continues to fill in the lore.
Yeah.
You know, and again, it makes these. All of this stuff makes the prequels better to me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because it just fills in so much stuff that happened in those time periods.
Yeah.
That,
some of it we wanted to know. Some of it were like questions that were like, you're like, what? Right. That's ridiculous. How did that happen? And then they backfill here and you're like, aha, they're answering these. Yeah. Which is that's what Filoni's doing. That's, you know, they want that. They know that they have these questions, and it's fun for them right. to, in a creative way, to answer them or to right. add to the story. So lots of fun. Lots of fun. All right. Is that it for this week?
I think so.
All righty. All right. We'll shut the lights out. Close it down. Everybody have fun. Heading to your comic book store. Hey, we gave you the information. Do with it what you will.
That's right. It's up to you to use it.
We'll be back next week. In the meantime, you can reach John on Twitter at Arkham Comics. That's comics with an X. Or you can reach me at brightside_chat. Or you can email us at brightsidechat@gmail.com. You can check us out and all the other great podcasts on nerdylegion.com. And hey, we're still on YouTube. You can go there and subscribe. That would be great. We're still hanging steady at 17, which is my hockey number. Awesome. So that's not a bad thing.
There you go.
So that'll do it for this week. Everybody have a great week, and we'll see you next week.
Take care, everyone.
Hey, Fred.